Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We got a great show for you today. We got our special co-host Nicole is going to be with us today.
Hello.
And a special guest.
Hi.
Which she will introduce herself in a second. This is KRU 100.1 in your FM dial, Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry, who I happen to be for some reason. And if you want to get a hold of these shows, a bunch are archived at KRUUFM.com. And a bunch of these, you could also see not only the hear the radio shows, but you could also watch a YouTube. Really cool how we have this as made this into YouTube videos, by the way. So well worth watching some of these. Really kind of fun, interesting ways we got this. And to do that, you could simply, you could either go to Arden Counseling Center on YouTube, or you could go to ardentcenter.com. So www.ardentcenter.com, and go into the media tab and you will see them listed out. All right. Enough of this about us. By the way, just as an aside to everybody, this is our 109th show.
Woo!
109th show.
Gosh, that's great.
I'm honored.
Yes.
Honored to be a part.
Yes, excellent. So, Nicole, introduce yourself and tell us about what we're doing today.
Well, I'd be happy to, Scott. Today we're going to be, well, first of all, let me introduce myself. I am Nicole Hester-Williams, and I do work for the Fairfield Ledger in Fairfield, Iowa.
And so it's a local newspaper.
It's a local newspaper. It's
so
the local
for those
daily.
Of you that aren't in Fairfield, yeah.
And so today we are going to be talking with Professor Pramila Badahur, and she is...
Ooh, you say that so nicely.
Yes. Isn't it beautiful? It just kind of flows
off. It rolls
off
your tongue, doesn't it?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And she's a beautiful person and very, very amazing woman. She's doing a lot of things here in Fairfield, but she's also doing a lot of things where she's from over in, is it the Lucknow province in India?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
She's like doing a lot of things. As we compliment her, how she smiles and turns
away. Yeah, she's so bashful.
Yes, but it's good.
That's greatness for you. So
okay.
But I'd like to go ahead and move this right on over to her for her to introduce herself.
Hi, this is Pramila Bahadur. I'm a PhD in computer science. I have a school back in India which is taking care of imparting education to unprivileged. This is school
unprivileged
students. I mean, unprivileged students who cannot afford to pay for the computer education, which is real costly.
Right.
So our school is taking care of that, and I am the mentor for that school. So that is me, and currently I'm working with Maharishi University of Management as a professor.
But you're not just over that school. She actually founded this school.
You founded the school?
She founded the school.
Yeah. Wow, nice.
Were you a university student at the time, or were you just coming out of university, your undergrad, or how did that happen?
Yeah, I was
how
just
did you found a school? I mean, I can't even conceive of how someone does that.
I found that a school when I was doing my graduation, and I started realize this is a place, like it was a place around 5 miles away from my home, and I started realizing that everybody is not so privileged as I was. Like my parents can afford to pay that hefty computer science education fees. So going to that village, I was very surprised to see in 20th century we had that village, and that was in the year 2004. So I just started thinking of that, can we have a school which can impart some education, and we can have that education free of cost so that students can be happy and they can have a better and bright future. So it was related to their enhancing their self-knowledge, self-confidence, and the knowledge levels.
How do you pay for this school? You get grants, loans, what?
No, actually, I'm a very shy person in that case. I was very shy to ask for grants or loans. So what I did, I started taking lectures some institutions, and they used to pay me for that. And then I used to pay this, and I used to take use of the salary and run this school. I'm
so
really
you took your own money.
My own money.
Oh, and she still does.
Right.
She still does today.
Wow.
So I'm really thankful to my parents and my family. They never stopped me actually from doing it.
But I know you're too shy to ask, but would you actually accept donations to the school if somebody actually went to find out about this place?
Well, yes, I would be happy to accept donations if somebody finds out and appreciates and shares my ideas.
What is the school? What's the website?
The website is, I have a website, promila.in. So
you're going to have to spell that for,
yeah,
so for those of us that don't even know how to spell anything.
So it is PROMILA dot in, INN. So that is promila.in.
INN?
ILA dot IN. So.
Oh, ILN.
So I just write that for you.
Okay.
There it is.
Oh, interesting. So is that what it is for India? Is like that?
Right.
IN. For India, of
okay.
course.
So,
right.
Yeah.
As
okay.
opposed to US or Australia, I know the EU.
Dot
EU.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Dot EU for
Australia. Okay, yeah. So that's fantastic. And I know you're too shy and you didn't ask me to even, and I'm not trying to plug your place. I'm just saying if somebody's listening to the show and they want to find out more about this and how it obviously, we're going to talk about mental health issues. And part of what you're doing is single-handedly trying to pull people out of poverty and give them a real education where they could do something to make a difference in this world. Because that's what it always comes back to is, how can we serve? How can we make a greater difference in this world? And by doing so, we can make a greater difference to ourselves. For those of us that are, for instance, depressed, one of the best things you could do is to volunteer and to make a difference to somebody else is a way to make a difference to yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely.
So, like, starting with this school, I started seeing, I mean, I was happy that these girls who are from a Muslim...
So it's all girls?
No, I mean... Now we had girls, we have boys, we have people from every sect of the society in the school.
Really? Even people who... So it's... How many students do you have?
Until date, we have educated around 2,000 students.
2,000 students?
Like, yeah, in the last 12 years.
Okay, so how many current students do you have?
Currently, we have, I think... Currently, we have around 100 students.
That's pretty sizable. And how? What ages?
So they are in the age of like from 16 to 40. They are different ages.
To 40?
Yeah, 40.
Oh, okay. So it could be adults going back to school.
Yeah,
and it's strictly about computers.
It is strictly about computers. And we are also planning to come up with this transcendental meditation for that. So that they can have good mental health.
So
also.
Like a consciousness-based education,
yes.
Like at MSAE or MUM.
Yes.
So that's fantastic. And so having a way, and so the reason you'd want meditation in there is why? For somebody who doesn't meditate, why would they think that's a good thing?
I would like, apart from imparting education, I would like them to take care of their mental health also. So this conscious-based education would really help them to be a better human being. Apart from that, they will have more clarity in their thoughts and ideas, which they can apply, and they can be more creative, actually.
Great. So by finding... For instance, one of the things I really like about consciousness-based education is that it's not just about expanding what you know, but who are you to know what you know? So who am I? And allowing myself to grow and expanding my consciousness to be able to learn more, to do more with what I'm learning. Because it's not just about the details. You know, I say, you know, I was a professor for a bunch of years. And one of the courses I taught a number of times is about lifespan development. And one of the big people in lifespan development is Piaget, for example. And in Piaget, like Freud and Erikson, there's a number of stages. And what's interesting, what I tell people is, for the life of me, I don't remember the dates of those stages. You know, I've taught this course a million times. I've read everything there is on, for example, Piaget or Freud. You know, I've read texts and huge books on this. But it doesn't mean I remember the details. Because I could ask Siri and in, you know, less than 5 seconds I can have an answer to anything I want. What's important is the context. Who am I? How am I using that information? And so I imagine at a school like yours, even if it's something so concrete like computers, I still have to integrate with how am I using that information, that knowledge, to do something more with my life, right?
The answer is yes. I see, basically, when you are having this conscious-based education for something like computers, you are just trying to work with a machine, and you have to be really patientful with that machine. A. B, this education will really help you to boost your own self. And if I'm not wrong, there's a phrase in the Bible which says, know thyself.
Yes.
And that is the most difficult job in the world, actually. Hmm. We sometimes really don't know why did we behave like that at that point of time. Actually, consciously, we don't want to behave like that, but we have done that. So doing this conscious-based education or having this conscious-based knowledge makes you a better human being. It tries to train you in a better direction, actually, and gives you a clarity who you are, where you want to go, and what you want to achieve. So basically, it gives you a line, a path, a direction for thinking, actually. And it makes you more substantial, actually.
Fantastic. And so right now, with this school, you've been running it a number of years, and it sounds like it's incredibly successful. So congratulations. I'm
Thank you.
Very impressed. And in fact, one of the things I'm going to ask you later is how I can contribute, because I know nothing about computers, really. But, you know, I do know a few things, so maybe I could be of service to you guys someday.
You know what kept me going from the last so many years, I never thought of that we came so far, because when I see at those happy faces, and there it's like a symbiotic relationship between me and them, when I see those happy faces, these are the ones who really gave me that feeling of fulfillment that we have, actually. If I could not have got that computer institute there, they might have not seen computers may for many few more years. And if they are there, so I feel more fulfilled that, yes, I'm trying to invest my time in the right direction. Maybe I'm just trying to make difference in some of those lives, actually.
But by doing so, they make a difference in your life. You know, yes. I say about the symbiotic relationship I'm in with clients. And I've said this to a number of clients. And so here's a little secret I say to clients is that I say, you know, they'll often thank me for the work that I'm doing. And sometimes it's incredibly profound work that, you know, we do in my world. And I say, yes, I'm glad you're thankful of me. But in truth is, you're a blessing to me.
Right.
And I think blessing is the correct word, mm-hmm. because if you didn't exist, I mean, I'm just talking. You're allowing me to get paid to talk.
Right.
I mean, my God, I'm the most fulfilling job in the world. You pay me to talk. And I just get to sit there. And you're allowing me to do my dharma, what I'm here on this world to do. Mm-hmm. If you didn't exist, if you didn't want to change, if you weren't open to this, I couldn't exist. I couldn't do what I'm here to do.
So. Yeah, actually, after being a mother of two very young children, I'm really thankful to them for being my children. And I'm really thankful to my students back in UST for being my students, because they make me realize, if my children are there, they make me realize, when a child is born, a mother is born. Mm-hmm. So they help me to have a mother in me. My students help me to have a professor in me. And they really, I'm really thankful to them for being so, say, receptive for whatever I was trying to give them.
I want to kind of switch gears here.
Yeah, I want to hear about, I mean, you have the same kind of thing. I mean, you're a mom.
Yeah, I am.
And you do lots of things to make a difference in this world. And you're a very spiritual person.
Very much so.
And yeah. And so I would think you'd see the world in a similar way.
Oh, I think that we met, whenever I met Pramila, I had to interview her for a story, and we've been friends ever since. It's just kind of like, I met my sister who was born in India.
Thank you so much.
So she is, she truly is. But one of the things, and definitely I agree with what you're saying, I definitely am a spiritual person. I want to do the best that I can in this world. And yeah, I was actually able to help out a very tiny bit with her school. And just getting just finding out who I helped, she sent me some photos of the young people that I was able to just help. It's so, and everybody out there who's listening, remember, we're talking about a school in India here. So where it may cost us thousands of dollars to get that 6 months worth of education. For them, you're talking a couple $100s. So I was actually able just to help one or two students. And to be able to do that is so gratifying, to know that somebody's life is changing. And what I wanted
to... it's direct.
Absolutely.
Which is nice. So it's not like you're worried about it going to some middleman or
no,
something.
No, it's right... here she is, sitting right here in the flesh, teaching over at MUM, you guys.
And getting rich.
We're in Fairfield. Yeah, she's getting so rich, sending half of her salary back over to India to help,
yeah,
to help her school.
Least paying schools ever, but yes.
But one of the things that I found that was so profound about her and her school, she had so many wonderful stories to tell, and I hope that she does share some of those with the listening audience today.
Yeah.
But someone who's able to raise their status has to help their mental health inadvertently.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, you're listening to Mental Health Matters. Nice segue there. on KRUU 100.1 FM, the FM dial. And these shows are archived here at KRUU, also at Ardent Counseling, ardentcenter.com, where you could go to the media tab and pull out YouTubes of these. And today we're with Nicole and Pamela talking about this fantastic school in India, which is just fascinating, really hearing the conception of it and what you're trying to do in a narrow pocket to make a difference in this world. And we're just, Nicole, you're bringing up the point about by social status or social economic status, SES. And what's really fascinating about that is one of the greatest predictors of mental health difficulties is SES. Mm. If you have low education and low economics, you will pretty much guaranteed to have mental status issues. You know, I'm not saying that so nicely.
Yeah,
but
so that is there. Actually, starting with this school, we just hired an office boy. As you know, in India, we have the concept of an office boy. So this boy...
I don't know what an office
boy is. Office boy is somebody who gets you coffee, who cleans your tables, who cleans your office. So he's an office boy.
Can you come over here? I need some...
I'm sure he'd love to come over.
Yeah, sometimes.
I'm just asking, you know.
Everybody wants to help you, Scott.
I'm just saying, I can always come,
and you don't have to pay to me also, but remember, you might get a crazy computer scientist.
Yeah, that's all right. That's fine.
You might not want.
We're all crazy. Okay.
So, we have this office boy who was helping us, and he was just 8 years old. He was just 8 years at that time.
8 years?
8 years.
Why isn't he in school?
So that was the point, actually. He was from a part of a rural India, and his parents cannot afford to educate him, so they just send him to work. And the most beautiful part of this story is that in the last, 12 years, that boy has really grown up. Now he's 20 years. Up to my surprise, he knows all the operations of computer. You might be surprised to know that he really helps students in the lab to come out of some difficult situation. I mean, and I have never ever taught him how to work with computers. It was just, he just learned
being
himself.
Being in that environment. That's
in the environment, actually. When I used to just take these lectures, he used to just watch me, and I never knew that he has such a keen vision, actually. I realized this fact that one day when I stepped into the institute and all the computers were open. I asked him how these computers are open. I have put on a password. He said, "It's me who has opened this." And I was like, "How do you know the password? You're totally illiterate." He said, "No, see, it is very simple. Just press these keys and you will get the password." And I was surprised. But I felt so happy that my time and energy, they are not getting waste, actually. So that is the best
part.
And
so for somebody like that, by him learning more and him growing with something, do you notice his mental status growing?
And
more stable and strong and on and on.
Yes, I mean, I think you're the right person to talk, I mean, to comment on that, because in the last 12 years, his mental status and his social status had really grown up. So see, with having this education, his mental status has risen, his social status has risen. Now he has a better understanding and he can take better decisions than the same children of his age from the same locality, actually.
Wow. Mm.
So that is the difference that we look ahead. That is the difference that we can see in that. So that is the best part of this whole thing.
So are there other stories over the last several years where you've noticed people shifting, not just being able to learn out of difficult circumstances, but psychologically how it's made an impact as well?
If I just share the social status, we have in organizations, you have like grade 4, grade 3, grade 2 and grade 1. So they're like the grade 1 are like presidents and then so on and so forth. There was a person who joined our institute and I knew this person is an office boy in some other university. He started educating himself with the computers. And up to my surprise, I found that boy one day sitting on a in the security area and issuing tickets or passes for the person to go in. I was surprised. I said, Sunil, his name was Sunil. I said, Sunil, how come you are a computer operator now? He said, Madam, I took that education from your school and see that has changed my life. So imagine this boy was a grade 4 person and he has moved on to a different grade altogether. Now he was a grade 3. So now you can easily, you are the right person to recommend and see, I could see that happiness on his face. See what how education matters actually.
So education really does matter.
Yes,
absolutely.
It does.
I mean, we all know that instinctively, but it's like seeing it over and over again. It must be very powerful for you.
It is indeed very powerful for me. I always feel that I have this small nursery from where I just distribute flowers. So this is how I can say about that. Like we have an instructor with us now. She is training our students. And the most beautiful part about this girl is that she joined our institute in the year 2006. At that time, she simply did her high school and she was from a Muslim Orthodox family. Her father was keen to ask me that how can he educate her daughter. Looking at me, he was very inspired. So I told her that why don't you send her to do her undergrads and then grads. You know, from her family, she is the first one who did her master's in human resource.
Wow.
She did her MBA. Mm. She has undergrad's degree in computer science and she is working as an instructor with us. I'm really proud to see her, like simply putting girls that only you have to marry and you cannot do anything else. Look into their potential. That is so beautiful. She is working with my institute and I have full faith that she's just doing the right job, actually.
So in your society, so you said she's Muslim, right?
She is Muslim.
Is there an issue with somebody being Muslim versus being Hindu versus being Christian?
Actually, in this city where I live, we don't have any issues like Muslim versus Hindu versus Christian. We all live in harmony. The beautiful part is that we celebrate all the major festivals, be it Christmas or Eid or Holi and Diwali that we have for Hindus. We are in harmony with each other. The thing that really bothers me was that these Muslim girls were not allowed to step out of their houses in that vicinity. So looking at me being a lady teacher, the parents started sending their daughters. And that what made the change, actually, from the last 12 years.
So the fact that you modeled that as a woman, you don't have to be just married and don't, you know,
exactly.
Be passive.
As a woman, you have so much of potential. You have so much of creativity that God has given you. And like I always tell that I have been told by one of my teachers that a literate mother gives a literate society. So if I am literate, I can make my children literate. So that is the main agenda of opening that school. Like I always welcome everybody from the society to be there and have computer education. Especially, I have soft corners for girls.
Okay. I'm sure. But
seeing as you are a girl.
Because they really need encouragement, actually. Sometimes we get biased with boys, and so I really don't like it. Because I have been raised like that. So being in America makes me realize that I was raised as a more like an American, actually. My parents were very, very liberal, very open, and I was like a tomboy type of person.
You were blessed.
I'm really blessed.
Yes.
But, you know, I think it's always an interesting question for all of us to come back to is, blessings are one thing. Having God-given talents and abilities is one thing. But choosing to do something with them and not get trapped by them is another. we all have gifts, we all have talents, we all have abilities, we all have circumstances. And sometimes they're very, very bad circumstances, or we have limitations. You know, I've talked about my learning disability, you know, and we all have some limitation. The question isn't, are we in a wheelchair? Because we're all in a wheelchair, we just don't see it. The question is, what are we doing with it? And how are we getting trapped by it or not? And the fact that you not only didn't get trapped yourself because you had the blessing of the parents, but you also took that blessing and did something and you ran with it. And so, you know, that's where the hat goes off to you. It's not, okay, you're smart. Okay, great. No, it's that you did something with your intelligence.
Right.
And didn't get trapped by circumstances. So, or society saying, oh, you're just a girl and you shouldn't do something.
That quickly reminds me of one of the saints saying, he said that, if you are as tall as a date palm tree, how does it matter? Because you are not able to give shadow to others.
Mm.
So, even if you're so tall, how does it matter? If you are present and if your presence cannot make difference in somebody else's life, what is the point of you being present, actually?
Right.
So I really like those lines. And I just started thinking that God has given us the supreme form. Human beings are said to be the supreme form of God's creation. We have that mind. We have those resources. So we should do something. See, river does not drink her own water. Trees do not take their own fruits.
Wow, now there is a thought. Yes.
So this is the beauty of being a human being, that you can do so much. So why should you just sit back and look into? Go ahead and do something, actually.
And I have a point that I'd like to make on that.
Yeah,
and Scott, this is going to like wrap back around to you. You know, whenever you think about mental health, and I think about depression, for instance, a lot of times people, they're feeling depressed and they seclude.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they don't want to be, they don't want to give.
They may
have, they isolate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They may have gifts, and it could be more than just depression. You mentioned, a learning disability. I think about dyslexia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of times, and then those two are dealing with mental health, and a lot of times people feel like, well, how can I give if I have maybe something that's holding me back, like depression or like, you know, we talked about the SAD disorder last week.
Seasonal affective disorder.
Whatever it is that's holding
you
back.
What do you think?
Yeah.
I just wanted to add one thing to that even if you're depressed or you're feeling laid back or whatever, please look around yourself and see there are so many who have not even got that what God has given you. So go out, reach to them. When you will find people who are deprived, then you will realize that God has given you a lot. So you will start thinking, and the point is that be more positive and look into those lives and see how you can bring happiness. Because when you will bring happiness to their lives, that is a symbiotic thing. It will come back to you.
That's right. And it doesn't mean you got to get trapped by it. You're not here. So the other side of that coin is sometimes people become codependent. They like, I need somebody to need me, kind of thing.
Right.
And it's like, no, I'm not getting lost in just serving to serve to serve. I'm serving and then bringing it back home again. It's like Campbell's The Hero with a Thousand Faces. I come back with that boon of that being able to make a difference in the world, to bring it back home again, to enrich my life so that I can be a better person, so that I can go back out again.
Right.
So we're just about out of time.
I want to mention a book real quick.
Oh, really?
Because speaking of giving and giving, because this woman is like, she's just a giver.
Yeah.
She's an amazing person. Really quickly, she just wrote a book that was published in
Machine Translation, actually.
Yes, she's going to tell us about it.
So we're going to do this. Can we do another show on this book?
Yeah, sure. Oh, we can do that. Cool. Another show on that.
Okay, but now mention the book and mention the website. So if somebody's remotely interested in finding out about what you do, how they can find out.
Sure, I will. And it was great talking to you guys.
So what's the book and
So the book, I have a website where you can reach me on promila.in. So that website, promila.in, will give you the information.
Oh, can you maybe so we'll have it.
Absolutely. So promila.in is spelled P as in Paul, R as in rope, O as in Oscar, M as in Mary, I as in India, L as in lollipop, A as in apple, dot P-R-I-M-I-L-L-A.in. I as in India, N as in Nancy. So that's Pramila.in.
Wow. She is very articulate, isn't she?
Oh,
okay.
Stop.
Thank you, both of you guys. And
thanks for having us here.
Oh, thank you.
It was great talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, bye. See you.